I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lieutenant Joe, and this is Chasing Justice. You know, I want to thank you all for being here. I have a little bit of a cold, so if you're starting to think it's someone else, it's a conspiracy that there's somebody else sitting behind the microphone. It's not. It is Lieutenant Joe. I just sound a little different because I'm a little stuffed up. And no, it's not the COVID. How would I know that? Well, I know the symptoms of COVID, and I don't have any of them. I have sinus problem going on. So what we want to talk about today with the COVID, I'm glad we brought that up when we get started here. We had Kathleen on a couple weeks ago because, like I've said before, she's really trying to understand what goes on here. And we had a lot of feedback from the show about why don't we know certain things? Why are we not allowed to know certain things about the virus? Why are there certain medications that are considered inappropriate, even though there's lots and lots of information that they work really well? So this has led to a lot of conversations around our home, which is including, why can they tell you have to get a vaccine or you can't participate in life? So I found that offensive in some ways, because what else can they tell me I can't do based on what? Do I have a hernia? I can't go to the baseball field? Do I have to reveal that information at the gate that I've had a hernia and I've had other situations? Why is it so different with COVID that people who would want to protect their privacy, especially their health-related privacy, you know, when they can come after you if they found out about your real health concerns, why all of a sudden is it perfectly okay? Not only is it okay, acceptable, it's demanded that you reveal your personal health situation, like have you been vaccinated? So I saw something on social media that I thought really kicked off this conversation and made me want to talk about it a little bit more today, was the fact that I saw somebody post, everyone should be vaccinated and anyone who refuses should be forced to be vaccinated. Now, that's a shocking statement. Now, if it came from one person, you'd say, okay, there's one crackpot out there who thinks that anytime the government wants to stick you with some kind of medication, they should be allowed to do it because they know better. But when you start to realize it's not just individual people that think this, there's lots of other people that think this also, you have to start asking the questions. What happens when there's COVID-20 and now they come up with something there? And I think what Kathy and I are trying to understand here, I think that the crux of what we're not understanding is why is there such a push when we know that there are deaths related to the vaccine. We know there are. We know there are blood clots. I know, 1 in 400 million. No, it's not that. It's actually higher than that. But we're not allowed to know the facts. We are simply to trust and to take the vaccine. Now, maybe the vaccine will be perfectly safe in the long run. Maybe it will be. Maybe it'll turn out it really is the greatest thing that ever happened. But the reality is, if we're not allowed to ask questions about it, if we're not allowed to consider what's good and bad about it so we can make an informed decision, then leads to the feeling of that there's something else going on. And what could those things be? What could they possibly be? So with me today, Kathleen is back again. Kathleen, welcome aboard.
Hey, Joe. How are you? Sorry.
I'm very glad to have you here. You know, this conversation is going on in our home because we do have college-age children who are going to different schools. And, you know, the schools may or may not allow them in with or without a vaccination. And you say to yourself, well, how can that possibly be? We know some of the college staff is not required to have the vaccination because of college rules, because of union rules or whatever. But the students, they can demand that. We can demand lots of things from these students. Is it appropriate to demand that they get a vaccination? So you've done a lot of research.
Yeah, this is a big controversy in our home because they are demanding, they are requiring. You may not come to school if you do not, if you're not vaccinated. And I have a real problem with that. It's experimental. It's not due to be, the trials aren't completed until 2023. So right now it's still experimental. So you're going to give my child, you're requiring my child to a healthy person, a person who, if they got COVID-19, the actual virus, they may or may not even show symptoms. They have a 99.91% chance of surviving. And on top of that, there's medications to help help them when they get sick, such as I talked about last time, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine.
That's part of the problem here, is that you're not allowed to talk about that. Like even I'm trying not to take a position here. I'm trying to learn and understand. But you have information that you told me the other day, anytime you wanted to look up something about a trial on the vaccine or the statistics of who's been hurt by the vaccines, you had to go to a different web engine, search engine, because some search engines like social media have shut off all the conversation that is anything except government approved responses about the vaccine. Isn't that correct?
Right. I had to actually go to DuckDuckGo because every time I tried to use the typical search engines I have on my phone or my computer, it would not take me there. It would take me to all the things that's untrue. If it was about a particular doctor or a scientist that had information, I would get his name under misinformation, you know, a vaccine person, not anything positive. It wouldn't bring me to his website. I had to actually download DuckDuckGo.
All right, so for those who don't know, DuckDuckGo is another web browser, kind of like Google or the
Safari
or any of these other ones. So DuckDuckGo is a group, apparently they don't do as much restriction. They're a place where they're not worried so much about canceling out people and canceling out conservatives or information that's not appropriate for you to know, because there are people who make those decisions, and you know, they can make those decisions for you, because obviously you're not smart enough, you're not keen enough, and you fall for all that that nonsense about this stuff. So DuckDuckGo is a place where alternative information is available, is what you're saying.
Well, it could actually find the real information. It is not guided by what they want to give me. So if I was looking up the American Frontline Doctors, when I went through Google, Safari, or whatever it was, they would say to me, misinformation, being sued, they're this and that. All I could get, the 500 articles, I had to go to page 35 of Google or whatever, and I couldn't find AmericanFrontlineDoctors.com.
Now, do they have a website?
Yeah.
Right, and you couldn't get to that just by using the standard...
So, the standard... www.AmericanFrontlineDoctors.com. When I went to DuckDuckGo, I'm like, this is really strange. Did they come down? So I went to DuckDuckGo on a lark, never used it before, and I put in American Frontline Doctors, and who was the first thing up but their website?
Amazing.
So Google, Safari, Microsoft, they were putting them page 35.
Right.
You couldn't find their actual website.
Which that's interesting, because that it goes right along with the whole thing of social media, you know, determining what we're allowed to see and what we're allowed to find out. Which, you know, before we get into the specifics, and I've asked Kathy to come up with some information here on what we really do know and what we don't know. And it's controversial. It goes back and forth, because I'm sure people that are totally pro-COVID vaccine could say that any information that she's about to tell us here is disinformation. It's nonsense. Just like any information that they give us, she could look at and say, hey, I have alternate sources, and they're nonsense. The problem is we don't have real information. We don't know what is political about medicine. If you have an obstruction of your heart, you can go to 10 different doctors, and they can tell you a couple different ways they'll handle it. But mostly they're going to come down to, hey, listen, it's probably going to be a bypass surgery kind of a thing. That is a standard procedure. Now, some might take medicine, some other, you know, see how it goes. But a lot of times it comes down, you got to have that heart surgery. But you're allowed to make that choice then. Do I want to do it or not? With this, we're not given those choices. And that's what leads to the question that I have is, why, Kathy? Let's flesh that. Why would they not want us to have this other information?
So
what do you think?
That's really above my pay grade. I'm telling you right now. I can't imagine the actual why. In the end... Once some parts say, my instinct says it might have something to do with money, but I can't imagine it's just about money. All I want to know is when I'm getting a surgery, a heart surgery, a spleen surgery, the doctors have you sign off. I've explained that you could die from this, you could have this from that, you could have this and that. These are the things that could happen to you. And you weigh the risks and the benefits and you make a decision and you sign off on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for this vaccine, you sign off, but they never tell you what the risks and benefits are. They're not really clear. And I don't know why there is this push to not have us be informed.
Okay, so let's break that down. You say it's above your pay grade. I don't think so, but I'm going to posit a couple of things here. So first of all, let's go on the light side of it. And let's say that the government and all these people are pushing these vaccines because, yes, there are some problems with it, because there are problems with any medicine. You put any medicine in somebody's body, they're going to have an allergic reaction, or it's not going to work with them. But for the overwhelming majority of everyone else, it provides you protection from some kind of a disease. And the government has looked into this. They've done the testing. All the ads that we hear from them say, it has been totally tested, it's totally safe, right? That's what we hear all the time.
That's all you hear.
That's all you hear. So if this is the truth, is that they really believe this is the best for us, and it's the best way to get out of this pandemic, so that everyone gets vaccinated, and then the disease basically has no power over us anymore, and we can go back to normal life. That's the brightest side. The darker side, then, is, okay, why would they want to do this? Why would they want to withhold medication? If there's medication that could work, and hydroxychloroquine is one of them, and ivermectin is another one. There's been tons and tons of smaller studies that are disparaged and put down because they're not done in the way that other studies are. But they clearly show a pattern that the stuff does work. Why would they not want to say, hey, you know what? Your doctor can use their experience, their judgment, the knowledge of you and your body and your health situation, and say, hey, let's give this a try. These are very safe medicines, been around for many, many years. It would either have a positive effect or it wouldn't, and your doctor would make those decisions. But in many states, like here in New Jersey, doctors are not allowed to prescribe those medications. So the only other alternative I can think of, if we don't take the light side, is the dark side. Are they trying to do something along the lines of population control? They want to give us something that 5 years from now is going to kill half the people.
This is where I said it's above my pay grade. This is what I do know. I know that they are telling me that there's a pandemic. And I believe that. But after a year, you see the number of deaths that would happen to a community in a period of time is the same in 2020 as it was every other year before that. So if you take a town like Smithville has 300 deaths every year on many different things, between car accidents and heart attacks and whatever. Smithville still only had 300 deaths. Now, you could do that for the state. You could do that for a region. You could do that for a country. There are statistics that come out. If there's a real pandemic, we should enact emergency funding things. Mm-hmm. But there doesn't seem to be a real pandemic, and I'm telling you because we have not exceeded the regular deaths.
Right. So what you're saying is that normally in Community A, 100 people die every year. When you add a pandemic disease like COVID-19 or the Black Plague or Ebola, and you introduce that, you'd have those 100 people that would die anyway, and then you'd have additional deaths from the disease, which has overtaken the community.
And that's why you are scared and you make whole bunches of emergency laws. Right. And this is so that.
But we're not seeing those additional deaths. We're seeing the same numbers across the country. To everyone who dies every year is the same number of people that are dying now, even though we've had these 500,000 people die of COVID.
Right. And I'm very sad anybody that died with COVID. I'm very sad for the loss of anybody. I know you are too. When I look at it, though, I'm saying it's not in addition to what we'd normally have. So if it's not really excessive numbers of deaths, right? There are people who die from it, I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But these people, the same numbers would have been there as before, are there as before. So first of all, my question is it really a pandemic? So if it's not really a pandemic, why did they make it a pandemic? Why did the whole world shut down? So that's okay. My number one question.
All right. Well, right? And that's a very good question. Now, we know we saw thousands of people affected in Italy, where we saw a big, big crunch in Europe at first. We know we saw how many thousands and thousands of people in communities dying, left and right, elderly people dying everywhere. They were burying them.
They were actually put to death in their nursing home.
Now, well, that's
another story.
The reality here is that when we look at that, now maybe that's where the natural flu, which would have killed 20,000 people in that community, was supplanted by COVID. COVID came along and those 20,000 people died from COVID instead of the flu. Right. Which, when we see the number of flu, 13 million or 31 million cases a year in the United States, down to 1,300 or something. That's probably the regional number. But the number was shocking. It was striking. It was 31 million cases down to 1,300. So where did the flu go? Or was the flu supplanted by COVID because people got COVID before flu season and that anyone who was going to die died and they would have died from the flu, but they didn't? I don't know. This is something we have to look at. Why isn't somebody telling us that?
So that's number one. I said that's above my pay grade. Was there really a pandemic? So if there wasn't a pandemic, the big question there is so far beyond my pay grade, I can't even tell you, why would the whole world be united? So now you say to yourself, it must be something real, right? And I agree that people really got sick and people are really suffering. My next question is, why do we have to have a vaccine when we have medications that work? Mm-hmm. And why the medications that have been proven to work, you brought up the studies, I'll talk about that in a second, the medications that have proven to be effective, why aren't they allowed to be used? Why are government officials mandating that our doctors and pharmacies not allow people to have these medications? So that's a really big question.
And that's where the conspiracy people jump in. And you know, I'm not a conspiracy person. But when you look in and you say, if you have a medication that would help 10 people, and it's a legitimate medication that if I had, what do they use the hydroxychloroquine for? Malaria. If I had gone to a place where malaria is prevalent and I caught malaria and I came home, my doctor would say, I'm going to give you hydroxychloroquine because it's going to fight the malaria. It's a known malaria fighter and it was very effective. But if I came in and I said, I got COVID, he's not allowed to prescribe me that medication. So it's a legal medication, but it's being prevented to be prescribed for certain kinds of disease. That politicizes the disease. What difference does it make if it works?
And now you have scientists and experts saying you have gold standard studies being done. But the reason they're putting these studies down, and I wanted to touch point on that, the reason it seems that they're putting these studies down is because they want studies that can only be done by big pharmaceuticals and government, and they want to leave out all the poorer financed ones. So they want to say, you need to have, I'm making up numbers here, but you need to have 1 million people in your study. Having 5,000 people wasn't enough. Well, why? If you have 10 studies with 5,000 people in them each, and they all have the exact same results, why is that information not good enough?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's in the smaller studies, there are patterns that show efficaciousness of different medications. Now, it's not 1 million. And you say to yourself, now, what do we know about doing these studies? I'm sure there's medical reasons to have 1 million people or whatever the large number is that you have this study because you have a bigger population and all of the intricacies of individual people kind of disappear when you have that many in the study. And you can see very clear patterns. That's what I'm going to assume that it is. So in a smaller study, you might have, you know, people in a region, they don't respond the same way that the larger population would. So therefore, they're saying it skews the study. But you're right. If you had 20 of those small studies from across the country
or world, right?
Wouldn't you have basically the same kind of an effect as a large study? It would seem that way to me. Here's my question. Why don't we have somebody come out and explain that to us instead of just saying, no, those little studies are no good. Don't take hydroxychloroquine. Don't, you can't have it. Why don't we have someone explain this to us?
So everything is silenced. So that's really upsetting because these things are just silenced. These are legitimate questions where we should be allowed to ask as the people who will be receiving these medications and this illness and what's going to happen to our family members. We should have input. So last week I talked about this or a few weeks ago and I said, we should be part of the medical team that comes up with a way to handle your illness. And we are being prevented from doing that. So my real question today was, what is the thing about the vaccine? First, I had the question about, was it a pandemic? Why are the studies? Why can't I use these other medications? But now I'm being forced, or family members of ours are going to be forced to take this vaccine. And there's no way of saying no.
Right. And it's reality. I travel a lot for business. And right now, to get on an airplane, you don't have to prove your health, right? They don't ask me for my hernia certificate. But there's a lot of talk that they might say, hey, if you're not vaccinated, you can't get on the airplane. We see New York State and New Jersey and some other places saying, hey, you know, as of July 4th, we're going to be wide open if you're vaccinated. If you're not, you can't participate. So I find that interesting that they want, what do they want you to do? Walk around with that card and have to show that card to people? You know, and I hate to make the cliche like, you know, show me your papers. But what is the purpose of that? Do you have to walk around with that card to show, to get into a place? Hey, listen, I've proven my medical thing. I'm going to tell you, a stranger, my medical history that I've gotten a COVID vaccine. And this is what leads everyone to feel like there's a conspiracy, because it doesn't seem to make sense. You know, follow the science. If you're a conservative, you're considered an idiot because you don't follow science, because you believe in it. Well, the science says that right now, I think the CDC came out and said masks can come off, yet our president, who's fully vaccinated, his wife, who's fully vaccinated, the vice president, fully vaccinated, all of them, they're walking around in the same room together wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Well, why? If you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. If you're vaccinated, you can't give it to anybody.
Well, if the vaccine is effective against the illness, you don't need a mask.
Right.
If it's not effective against the illness, why would it be mandatory? It's a good question to have, right?
It is a good question. It's a good question.
Right. I'm turning around and saying, it's no longer conspiracy to me. It's tyranny. When you're standing there saying, I cannot leave my home, I cannot go into a restaurant, I cannot do this, unless some person points a thermometer gun at my head, or somebody who, I don't know how many times they've done it, but they stick those PCR test swabs up to your nose, all the way in the back of your head. This is tyranny. Then I can't go out and live my life. If I decide not to have this medication, why is it I can't just go about my life and take the chances?
Right, you take the chance. If you get sick, you get sick. If it kills you, it kills you. Now that sounds ridiculous, but the reality is, we know for most healthy people without comorbidities, the chances of you having a death experience with COVID is really very, very small. Like, you could get out and walk in the front door and get hit by a bus. Now, you know, that happens too. People die all the time.
And we haven't stopped buses, and we haven't stopped people getting
And I don't mean to conflate the two, a medical illness between an accident. But the reality is, there's lots of things that we take chances with all the time based on, I'm making a decision. I'm going to get in a car and I'm going to drive to the city. And I could get killed on the bridge. I can get killed on the turnpike. Well, if I catch this COVID, yes, I could be one of the unfortunates that has some hidden health thing that kills me. Really. But taking the vaccine, which, as you said, it is experimental. There are doctors that are telling you don't take it. There are doctors out there that you can get to that are not quacks, that are not nuts, that are not fools, that are real doctors who are saying they have questions about the vaccine. They're not sure about that it's safe.
Right, about the safety and effectiveness. Those are two really good questions. And that should be something I should be allowed to have that information to make a decision of how I'm going to physically, permanently alter my body. I can't get rid of this vaccine once it's injected in me.
See, I don't think a lot of people understand that this is such a different kind of substance, that it is not like other vaccines that we get that go in and simply activate your immune system to watch out for a particular virus or a germ. This actually goes in, it changes how your body searches for those things. And while today it may be very effective at searching out the COVID vaccine, but what happens 3 years from now when it turns out your body can no longer search out a cancer gene that comes through, or another kind of bug that comes up and pops up somewhere? It can't find that because it's changed. And then you suffer from that.
So permanently.
This is what's scary, and we're not talking about it. We're just saying, do it. Take it. It's perfectly safe and perfectly healthy, and it's been tested. But it's not been tested. It's an emergency experimental vaccine.
And they are not telling us. They're not informing people properly. They're misinforming people. They're giving disinformation. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this. You know, the tobacco companies were the first ones to really promote disinformation. They knew for years that smoking was hazardous to your health. And they kept giving disinformation. They kept doing ad campaigns. They kept pointing out, that's not true. We have studies for this. Why?
They hid their statistics. They hid the truth for years until it turned into a societally acceptable thing to be against smoking. Then all of a sudden, the politicians turned on them. They had to give up their records. And now we see that for years, it was obvious that sucking in tobacco smoke into your lungs was not a healthy thing to do. But didn't we see ads about doctors? My favorite smoke is the Cool. My favorite smoke is the Lucky Strike. I'm a doctor. It's really good for you. Well, they knew this for years. And this is what I'm trying to equate to this. Why would they give that disinformation if they knew it was a deadly product? Because there's billions of dollars involved in it. Why would the politicians not jump up and down and demand to know? Because there's lots and lots of money into politics from these people when they use the people that come out, the lobbyists. Hey, support tobacco. We're going to pay for your campaign. Suddenly, finding out if tobacco's killing people is not that interesting to me. I'm going to worry more about the gasoline engines in airplanes than I am worrying about whether tobacco kills you. Until it turns, and that becomes, oh, that's a popular thing to do. Now I'm going to go after them, which is what they did. The vaccine companies are the same thing. Where are all the anti-vaxxing Hollywood stars that went crazy over every... Never take a vaccine. It's causing autism. It's causing... Vaccines are bad. Don't eat apples. Where are they today going, this is an experimental vaccine. We should look at this. This could be dangerous. Where are they jumping up and down saying, don't do it? No, they're all on board going, no, take it. Government says it's good. This vaccine, it's a good vaccine compared to the ones they're against. I don't get it.
And that's what's above my pay grade. I can't understand why no one's screaming out against it. Maybe they are and they're being stifled, but I don't understand that either.
Well, they are.
So I'm saying that the tobacco industry was an example of how disinformation caused millions of people to be affected by smoking. Just for the tobacco company to keep their profits and the politicians to get their jobs and their different things.
Right.
So money had an influence on that. And I can only suggest, surmise, contemplate that maybe money has a thing on this vaccine because people are making money off it.
Well, you know,
if you mandate of 70 million people get it.
Right.
And the government's paying them for it. Then you have, how much are they charging the 70 million? How much are they charging
billions,
per dose?
And
they're making billions of billions. Now, every time they come up with a vaccine, the government's going to mandate a new vaccine? I have to have a vaccine for toe warts or this or that? I mean, I have to have a vaccine for an ingrown fingernail now?
Right. I mean, and that's my point. And as strange as it is to understand all of this, whether it's a evil conspiracy, whether it's demonic, whether it's from the people. When it comes down to most everything, you look at the simplest answer. And the simplest answer with medication is that, or with tobacco, was that there was so much money at stake and so many people were getting money from it that they ignored it. Well, vaccines and pharmaceutical companies, yes, they do great things. They've saved millions and millions of lives. But this is also a trillion-dollar industry, and there's a lot of money goes into politics, so therefore, this is politicized. When there is medicine that could work, that's very, very cheap, and you're not allowed to prescribe it for no good reason other than it doesn't work, Trump said to use it. That's malfeasance, I think, of the medical profession. That's something I would be concerned about. And I don't know, but when you say that, I say that. Come back to the simplest thing. There's money involved, lots and lots of money, and we have to get this, right? We have to get it.
Right. So we can talk about what the different points I wanted to make about the vaccine. But for me, I do not want to take an experimental vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to be a human experiment. I do not want to take a vaccine when I have medication in my home that I can take to alleviate and shorten my symptoms.
Right.
If I come down with COVID. So why would I take something that permanently alters my body?
And look at it this way. If they're going to say you can't get on an airplane if you're not vaccinated, that the only people that can get on there are vaccinated people, aren't they safe for me if I walk on there with COVID?
I would think so.
Right? Now, if I'm not vaccinated, I could still probably get it from them because as we go through when we come back from our break in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about even if you get the vaccine, you can still get the COVID. And even if you don't have any symptoms and you're vaccinated, you can still give people the COVID. So if I want to get on that airplane and they're all vaccinated, they can't get it from me.
Theoretically, you would think if they had the vaccine that they would be safe.
Right.
And so why not
let me on? And if I take a chance, if one of them gives it to me, well, that's the chance I took. But instead, they're starting to isolate us from each other. You know, hey, concerts are coming back, but not for you if you're not vaccinated. We're going to go into the restaurants. Yeah, but not for you. Take your masks off. Not you unvaccinated people. These are the kind of questions that we're just trying to get answers to. You know, I don't know if this is some evil thing going on or if it's money related, or maybe they really do think this is what's best. But it is affecting our entire society, and we all really need to think about it, and we need the information. All right, so I'll be back in a minute. Kathy, thank you so much. We'll drag you back in here for a minute or two if you don't mind, because, you know, you got some good questions to ask in a minute. This is Lieutenant Joe with Chasing Justice. We'll be right back.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Chasing Justice with Lieutenant Joe Pangaro here and the lovely, the talented, the brilliant Kathleen. So in our first segment, we were talking about some of the concerns we have. And I think it's legitimate. So we want to know why we can't ask the questions. Why, if you go on social media and you ask a question, you're right. Every one of your answers, every time you post something like, hey, is this thing safe? Boom, you get a placard placed on your tweet or your post or whatever that says COVID-19 vaccines are completely safe as per the government. You know, they're telling you what to believe. You're not allowed to ask the question. And if you were to answer and say it's not, I would have a feeling you might get canceled, or you might be suspended or whatever. They throw you off because you're not allowed to answer negative things. So if I was to ask some of the questions, I wouldn't even know where to go, because the way everyone is portrayed, if a doctor or a virologist or a scientist, you know, the people they apparently, there's an entire group that are government oriented, that are geniuses, brilliant, honest, and truthful. And then everyone else that doesn't take the government line is a liar, cheater, crackpot, nut, alien theorist, or whatever else it is. They're not to be trusted because they're not government approved. So who is this group that you keep referring to? America's frontline doctors. Who are they? And why don't I know about them?
All right. So I want to say first, I think our country was founded on people asking these questions, not wanting to just take the government line. Very independent people we are. We want to make our own decisions, right? Right back to our revolution. We have this in our blood, in our DNA, if you would. And now all of a sudden we're being told we can't think. We have to toe the line. We have to follow through. And that's concerning. And I just wanted people to know that's what made me concerned in the beginning.
Sure.
I couldn't really find a lot of information. And I found out about this AmericasFrontlineDoctors.com. I'm pretty sure it's a Dr. Gold that started it. There might be hundreds of doctors on there now. Doctors are joining the forces. And they also have a Legal Eagle team now. And they are just compiling information and getting it out there. It's a great resource to find information. What you could do about masks, about the PCR tests, about the vaccines, the efficacy of the vaccine, you know, the safety
some answers other than government answers.
Yeah, and I could only go to actually to websites, and it's really like America Out Loud or religious sites that aren't as censored. And you have to go to these small little places. Not, and I don't mean that they're small, but maybe off the beaten path, right?
Right.
You're not on ABC. You're not on Fox News. You're off the beaten path. This mm-hmm. is why we need these resources, these agencies that give us a forum for listening and talking and just asking the questions. Mm-hmm. So America Frontline Doctors, there are others, World Doctors Alliance, Children's Health Defense, I think that is Robert Kennedy's son, Jr., runs that one. Principia Scientific, the Highwire.com. These are places where you can get some information. So this is a question they ask on this paper I have here. Would you get on an experimental aircraft that had not completed standard safety testing, that had no airworthiness certificate, and for which the makers have absolutely no liability for any deaths or injuries? Would you get on that plane if it had no completed testing?
So I don't know if it can fly properly.
It's still under the
experiment. We don't know. Maybe it could, maybe it couldn't, but it's experimental.
Right. And it had no airworthiness certificate. No, mm-hmm. There's no certification that
it's
says
going to fly. It's going to stay in the air.
And land properly.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very important feature of an aircraft. I like the good landing. That's always very important.
Right. And then the air maker, the plane makers, have no liability. You can't sue them if something happens to you. Now, would you just say, I'm going to get on that plane? Now, what if somebody forced your children to get on that plane?
Right. Well, let me, two different answers there. First of all, if I was given that information that you just gave me, it's experimental, it has no certificate, it has no thing, but it does something really cool. It goes really fast and really far and really high. And I thought that was important. With that information, I could make a decision. Hey, maybe that risk to me, for whatever benefit I would get out of doing that, getting on that airplane, would be worth the airplane crashing and me dying. And I would be able to make that choice. I'd be clear. I'd say,
because
okay,
you were given the information. It had no certificate of,
right,
because
I knew all the risks, and I decided the benefit for me personally was good to get on an airplane. If I survive, good for me. If I don't, well, I made a decision. The other one was, now you're going to force my children onto that airplane to go for their school trip because it's just cheaper or because that's the one that's approved. Now I'm going to say, wait a minute, I don't know that plane's going to land. I don't know that it's got any airworthiness. I don't know. No, I'm not. With that information, I'm not taking that risk with my children on that plane. Absolutely not. But they're forced onto that plane.
They're leading them on. I feel like they're onto the cattle cars. That's
the only
I feel like.
Plane you're allowed to get on is that one.
Right. That, and so now the other real question that you and I talking about this popped into my head. This isn't really like the vaccine because the vaccine isn't giving you the information. The vaccine isn't telling you it's not tested and that it's not approved and it has no guaranteed efficacy and that you can't sue if something happens. So the vaccine people aren't even telling you that.
Well, they're not. But who's coming on every single time I see these advertisements? I see some nice looking medical person standing there going, the vaccines are totally safe. The vaccines are very effective. Go get your vaccine, right? That's what they're telling me. They're
right.
Telling me that it is safe. They're telling me that it is. It's been put through all government tests. That's what they say. Well, how can these people here, America's frontline doctors, say it's none of that stuff, but the government people say it is? What are the tests and how did they come out? Why don't we know that? Why don't we see what the tests are?
So testing is a certain period of time and the vaccine is a very new technology. But it has been tested since 2001 or something. And it has never been approved because it kept failing the animal tests.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I told you I have a cough.
It hasn't passed the animal testing. Mm-hmm. So up until now, it was never approved. The only way that these they're not even vaccines. These, I don't know exactly what you can call them, genetically modified organisms that are,
It's a shot.
It's not really following the common definition of a vaccine, okay? So the only way that they would get approved is if it was under the Emergency Use Act.
It's not COVID, I swear, Kathy.
No, it's a dry cough from allergies. I know. Anyway, so what I'm saying is that it has been tested before, but it always failed. They're not releasing that information. Now, the official testing is not done till 2023 of these vaccines. So they're still considered experimental under the Emergency Use Act.
Right.
Experimental.
Now, let's look at this and say, we did have we had a nationwide panic. We shut the government down, we shut the world down. We stopped sending children to school because there were thousands of people dying. We saw people in our nursing homes dying. Elderly people were dying. You couldn't go to people's funerals. You couldn't go see your parents laying in the hospital as they withered away and died because this COVID was so bad. Now, I'm going to give everybody in charge the benefit of the doubt that this was brand new. We didn't know what this was. We didn't know where it was going to go. It looked horrific.
Well, somebody knew.
Information started coming in that it wasn't as bad as it was. But then we saw certain government entities tighten down on people. Whereas Florida and Texas, when we look at them, they did not. They tightened for a little bit, then they restricted, unrestricted, and they seem to be thriving and booming, and everyone's doing the right thing, and they're living their lives. But other places are still locking down. We're only seeing short breaks, and they're starting to now, in those places, blue states, really threaten people with, if you're not getting this vaccine, their whole world's going to open up, but not for you. So we can go round and round with that, but I like these questions that we should be considering.
Okay. All right. So
what should we be asking?
So according to American Frontline Doctors, for you to make your own decision about the vaccine, okay, are the mRNA vaccines experimental? Yes.
Okay.
Because they haven't been officially tested yet. They're still in the experimental stages.
Right.
Have they been safety tested on animals? The answer is no. They gone to humans because they didn't pass the animal studies in the first rounds before this COVID-19.
Because we needed it fast.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. We were scared to death, so we went fast.
Has it been subject to medium or long-term safety testing on humans? No. It hasn't gone through medium or long-term
safety. It's only been a year.
They only tested it for so many months before they started injecting us
right.
with it. Now, the other thing is they only tested it on very healthy people with no comorbidities, so we don't even know. When you're giving these vaccines to the elderly, it was never tested on the elderly, to elderly with diabetes and heart problems, so we don't know those results. Are the effects of the vaccine reversible? Now that to me is a very important question. I take a poison, I want an antidote. If I overdose on something, I want something to get help me with that. If I break my arm, it'll heal. If I lose my leg, I can get another artificial
prosthetic,
leg.
Right, sure.
But this is, there's not reversible. Whatever this does to you is permanent.
So that's what makes this particular vaccine, for lack of a better word, that's it actually changes your body and how your body perceives germs, in a short way of saying it. That doesn't go back.
Right.
That's
Once
not it changes your body's perception of germs or
how to identify viruses,
it's permanent. It's forever.
It's actually bypassing your body's natural instincts and its natural properties to prevent you from getting what they're putting in you. It's bypassing. Your body is rejects this. As soon as it sees this come into its body and through the blood work, it rejects it. It sends all these blood cells to it and rejects it. Well, they had to disguise it. That's why it has to be frozen at like 900 degrees below Fahrenheit and then injected into your nice warm body. Well, it's got to be hidden from your body's natural defenses. Crazy. Okay. Will the vaccine stop me from getting COVID? No. Actually, they won't. Will the vaccine stop me from spreading COVID? No, it's
not. Now, let's look at those two questions because that is not what we're being told. We're being told now that you can go without your mask and go have a big party, go to a concert. You can do whatever you want as long as you are vaccinated, no matter which vaccine you got. And because it's going to prevent it. But here the doctors here are saying...
No, look, not the doctors here. The vaccine itself
says... The vaccine says you could still get it.
It says that it only is 90% effective against the symptoms. So you're not getting COVID You're just supposed to lessen your symptoms.
So you're not going to suffer. You're not going to die. Go on a ventilator.
But you still have COVID. So it hasn't stopped it. So it's not in the typical vaccines that we always had. So when you had a vaccine for chickenpox, you weren't going to get chickenpox.
Right.
Polio, you weren't going to get polio. Now, this is not that. This is why it's not really considered a vaccine.
Okay.
We're calling it a shot. Okay.
Fair enough.
Do the vaccines allow me to stop wearing a mask? Well, apparently not right now, but maybe on May 28th in New Jersey, you could stop wearing a mask in certain situations. I have no idea. Do the vaccines contain genetically modified organisms? Yeah. So they're putting like little robots into your body. They're not putting anything natural.
Now, you're not saying like electronic robots like we see on TV,
right? Oh, yeah, like little synthetic, little electronic robots that can be read. And these are some doctors are saying you could actually go into some place where you could get screened and they could screen and tell your whole body. You could make your body do things. This is some of the scary stuff they're saying. This is not...
See, now I had not heard they're putting robots. Now, I had heard, you know,
these
Bill
microbes.
Gates was putting robots. You're still talking about germs, organic compounds, not metallic robots with
these
arms and
metallic.
Legs.
These are not...
Data plates.
These are not natural things they're putting in you. They're some synthetic little materials that go into you that are like microbes that are not natural. They're synthetically, genetically modified organisms. They are not natural.
Right, so it's an organism that's natural, that's genetically modified to go into your body. What I'm saying
is... Let's talk
not,
to the doctors about that one.
It's not like something you go to Best Buy and go, give me those little metal things and I program them and they float around in your blood.
Well, that's what some people are afraid that these can do, but I don't know.
Okay, let's leave that
That's
one
going off there. Do the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccine contain aborted human or monkey cells? Well, yes. And as a matter of fact, not only do they contain aborted human or monkey cells... Those cells aren't screened for other viruses and illnesses. And in the vaccine community, I've come to realize this is a big concern because when you take a monkey cell to grow your vaccine in, that monkey cell wasn't cleared of viruses that monkey might have. Nobody checked it if it has AIDS. Nobody checked it if that monkey had, I don't know, monkeypox. I don't know. So now your vaccine is growing in something that has...
Has other diseases
might
already
have,
there.
Right? Might have. It's like a throwing a dartboard. Do you know what I mean?
So I guess theoretically what you're saying there is that if the growing medium, if it's an animal...
Or even a human that might have
an issue. Or human that have other diseases. When you get the vaccine, you're going to get some of that with it.
Right.
So there's potential
And there's
for that.
Concern. Okay. And it's aborted babies. If you don't want to... Take things off aborted babies. You know, why isn't the pro-life community speaking out about this? All right. Do doctors have concerns about the mRNA vaccine's long-term effect on fertility? Yes.
Yes, they do. And now that's where I've heard groups of doctors talking about the potential to ruin male and female fertility years down the road. So if you, like, now they're giving this, they're recommending this to 12 to 16-year-olds. And now that person gets into childbearing age, you know, when they, and I don't mean just because they can get pregnant and they're 14 running around. I mean, when they get married and they're in their 20s, they want to have a family. Now they may have fertility issues related to taking that vaccine. So prevented the COVID, but now they can't have children.
So,
that's
yeah,
one
so,
of the concerns.
So
right?
It says here, it says inflammation of the placenta of pregnant women who received the vaccine have been reported. The vaccine is designed to create antibodies to attack the viral S protein. That protein is very similar genetically to the proteins made by the placenta. So now, if that inflames that, the placenta's been dropping out of women and they can't carry their babies to full term.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're not hearing a lot about that.
No, but there's enough of it, enough stillbirths, miscarriages going on. And because we know... Scientists know about these proteins, and they know about these different things, and they know the effects they have.
Right.
So that it's not like it's a guessing game.
Right.
They have experience with them in other areas.
So as a layman, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor. When I hear that one, what makes sense to me is saying that this mRNA vaccine that we're giving people changes the way the body recognizes things. Therefore... If it's normally going to recognize a naturally occurring protein, like in a pregnant woman, and it could misinterpret it, now it can go after that and attack it, and now you can't hold the pregnancy.
forever. Well,
I could conceptually understand that.
Right. And that's why they're saying they have evidence of this in other circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And all the ferrets they tested it on at one point could never hold a pregnancy. Well, there you go. I'm just saying, like, there's some evidence to make you concerned.
Well, and that's the thing, to concern. And here's why they do testing for years on these things. We panicked. We came up with a vaccine because we thought it was the end of the world. And we could not have the American economy shut down for any more time. So instead of just saying, listen, if you've got comorbidities, you stay home. If you're elderly, unfortunately, you got to stay home if you don't want to get it and die. Everybody else, take your chance. If you get it, you're probably going to be okay. You might be miserable for a week or two, but you're going to survive, and the world goes on. And that's how we get herd immunity, by people getting it. But instead, we rush to these vaccines, it looks like, for a good reason, I think. Because we didn't know.
For possibly a good reason. I think somebody somewhere knew it wasn't a good reason, but let's not go there.
But the point is, we were panicked in 2020, and we came up with these, but now we're seeing there's these problems, but we're not allowed to talk about the problems.
Right. Okay, so now, is there a risk of autoimmune disease, strokes, seizures, convulsions, or other side effects? Are there risks of that? Yes, there are. Now, an autoimmune disease, because we're asking these body to create these antibodies, well, they never turn off. They just multiply. And so when the antibodies are out there, do you just keep attacking your body? And it's doing the total, that's what an autoimmune disease is, when your body kind of attacks itself.
It attacks itself, right.
Mm-hmm. And this is what they're saying. There's problems with this. Convulsions, seizures, strokes. Do you want to sign up for that?
Right. I think there's a lot of questions here for me to take this. Now, we just had a friend yesterday telling us that she took the vaccine and she worked in the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably, 60?
Yeah.
Okay. And she took it and she said all of a sudden her liver function
skyrocketed
to 94%, where suddenly this was a life-threatening situation. Well, within 4 or 5 days, it came back down to normal, but this was right after the vaccine, and she had that physical reaction from her body.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's one person I know that something actually happened to, and then we know another young woman who got the COVID, legitimately got COVID a year ago, and she still doesn't have her sense of smell back. Now, she didn't suffer anything else, but she just barely has any sense of smell. That can be affecting her for her whole life, but she's okay. Her liver function didn't go to 98% loss. So I don't know. We need to ask questions and get information.
Has the vaccine caused any deaths or injuries? Well, the answer is yes, it has. Now, the fact that you're not being told how many, you're being told it's an acceptable number. What I told you earlier today, and this is the point I want to make, there have been other medications, other treatments that had less numbers of deaths and injuries, a less percentage than COVID, and were pulled off the market.
Mm-hmm.
So they're telling us today that these are acceptable numbers, but these numbers weren't acceptable at other times. They're just all of a sudden acceptable.
Right. So what you're saying is that something made for itchy foot that killed people, and they didn't realize in the testing they didn't see that, and people start taking and they start dying, they pull that medicine off the market. Now, there's been a lot of them that we can talk about recently, things that I took for a bad knee and for knee pain. All of a sudden, it's giving people heart attacks. They yanked it off the market.
Right.
Well, they did the testing for years, and they didn't see that effect until people started taking it wide scale.
But the percentage, that statistic, that they're using now for COVID is a different standard than they had other times for other medicines.
Right. And that adds to the conspiracy. Why would they change they're not following science if they're changing the rule book on the fly just to keep this out there.
So they can say to you it's an acceptable range.
Mm-hmm. If you change the rules on what's acceptable.
Right. It's not the same based on other rules. So that's what I want people to think
about. Well, I got to tell you, that sounds alarming to me. I don't know that that's the case, but you got this from these doctors. That's alarming to me. Why would you change the ground rules just to make something fit? Okay.
Right.
You should ask questions about that.
We should ask.
Right.
Tell you it's an acceptable number, I want to know what is the number and what were the numbers for birth control pills or for this disease or for that medicine.
Right. And why did you, if they did change them, why did you change them for this? What was your scientific reason for changing the ground rules for this particular thing.
Because apparently it's more acceptable for people to die or have have a severe...
And again, that comes down to the two things. Is it because it's really... because we'll all die if we don't do something? Or is it for some other reason?
Then the vaccine manufacturers... are the vaccine manufacturers liable for injuries or deaths caused by the vaccine? And the answer is no. So you can't sue them for anything. Now, I will point this out to your listeners, Joe. If your job makes you take this vaccine, your employer, and you have a bad reaction to it, you can sue your employer for mandating it.
For requiring you take an experimental vaccine.
Exactly.
You can't sue the government. And you can't sue the vaccine maker. But if your company that you work for says, you take this or you don't have a job, and then you get sick, you die, you grow a third arm, whatever, that can be related directly to the vaccine, then you can sue them, is what you're saying.
Yes. And so these small companies. Now, I will tell you, I saw Wawa, and I'm sorry if you don't want me to mention it, but they had a sign, you know, hiring, because everybody's hiring now. Nobody's going back to work. Hiring, and they said, bonus if you have the vaccine. And then in small print, it says you are not required to have the vaccine to work here, the COVID vaccine.
Right, so they were doing their liability.
They were giving you an incentive. You can get a donut if you have a free donut. You can get a free beer if you have your vaccine. You can get, you know...
a free pass to the park.
$75
maybe I should take a vaccine with my cold here. Now, listen, I want you to cover this last one because we're running out of time. I think that's an important one.
Are there doctors and scientists recommending people not take it? Are there any doctors and scientists recommending you not take it? And the answer is yes. It is not a unified group. It's not the whole world is not saying this is perfect. There are actually doctors and scientists saying this is unsafe and it has no benefit.
And Kathy, that is the crux of why we've done a couple of shows on this particular topic, right? We're not nuts. We're not saying don't take vaccines. We vaccinated ourselves and our kids many, many times for things that we thought were safe and efficacious to keep them healthy. The fact is that there's a lot of questions around this medication, why it's being treated the way it is, why the government is saying what they're saying, why information is being kept away from people, that we need to ask these questions. This is so different than anything else. That's why we're doing these shows. That's why I'm asking these questions. This could be the greatest boon to mankind, this virus vaccine. And it saves everyone from the COVID that's going to kill the whole planet. Or it can have long-term effects down the road that we can't even imagine only a year into taking these vaccines. We only started in last December, right? It's only a few months down the road. What a terrible thing to find out. We may have poisoned people because we didn't slow down, and stop making it mandatory as opposed to, hey, it's an option. If you're informed, you can take it if you want it. So ladies and gentlemen, that's what we wanted to get out to you today. Here on Chasing Justice, we're trying to do what's right. We're just asking questions. When it's bad to ask questions, you got to say to yourself, what's wrong with the world? This is Lieutenant Joe. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Do your due diligence. Figure this out for yourself. Be safe.